The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Ooh. Another rough day in America. Welcome to it. It is Tuesday. I'm Nicole Sandler. Thank you for being here. I almost wasn't here today. I'm going to be real honest with you. I've not been having an easy time of things, and the news just makes it so much worse. So I woke up this morning to a panic attack. Somehow managed to get What's News done, and as soon as I got it up and out, the news broke from the Supreme Court, making it, so much of a worse day. Yes, the Supreme Court upheld Trump's travel ban executive order, handing the president a major legal win on one of his highest profile and most controversial policy moves and reversing lower court decisions that blocked the policy. The court divided 5-4 along its usual ideological lines, with the Republican-appointed justices in the majority insisting they were not endorsing Trump's campaign trail rhetoric calling for a ban on Muslim immigration to the U.S. No, the man only said, Donald J. Trump calls for a complete ban of all Muslims in America. Xenophobic, racist, bigoted fuck. But I digress. The travel ban policy the justices effectively blessed was significantly watered down from the first version Trump issued 7 days after his inauguration last year. However, the decision upholding the president's broad powers in the areas of immigration and national security could embolden Trump to take more aggressive moves to curtail travel for majority Muslim countries. The man, I found a tweet from Digby that really underscored who he is. Digby wrote, God, he's dumb, malevolent too, and psychologically unfit, but really, really dumb. I can't think of anyone in history with this particular combination. We just don't have a roadmap to deal with a very stupid, dishonest, narcissistic demagogue. It's a lethal combination. I worry about the future of this country. I worry about my kid. I worry about my senior years. You know, at 58, I don't know how much upside there is. And Ryan's new budget just wants to cut the social safety net. We are in despair, and I know despair is not an option, and sometimes just can't help it. I don't know. How about should we try to laugh a little bit? Come on, John Oliver, bring on the laugh.
This week saw continued outrage over his zero-tolerance policy causing children to be separated from their parents at the border, a policy which, you may remember, Trump repeatedly insisted last week he had no power to change. His hands were tied. There was nothing he could do. Well, guess what?
In a rare political retreat, President Trump today ordered an end to the policy of separating migrant families who enter the country illegally.
Yes, Trump claimed he couldn't do a thing, and then he did it, which is a little strange because he usually claims he can do things and then doesn't do them, like draining the swamp or locking up Hillary or attending Tiffany's Sweet 16. Uh-huh. Unfortunately, that executive order has some significant hitches, because while families will now not be separated, that's because they'll be detained together. And under current rules, the children can't be held in detention facilities for more than 20 days, which means less than 3 weeks from now, they could start splitting families up all over again. And remember those 2,000 children who've already been separated from their parents? What exactly is the plan to deal with them?
Now the Trump administration has released a general plan for bringing separated families together. But major pieces are still missing, including a clear timeline on just how long it would take and how it would get done.
Well, hold on, because those are some pretty major pieces to leave out.
You think?
In fact, it's all the pieces. How long it will take and how it will get done are the whole plan. But as the week went on, perhaps the most notable thing was the lengths that some Trump supporters went to defend the indefensible, from their parents shouldn't have broken the law to the conditions aren't that bad. But it took Fox's Stuart Varney to go with the bold argument of, who gives a shit?
If you read the headlines or you watch the evening news today or yesterday or this week at all, it's trade war, it's children in cages. The real big story that affects everybody in America is the success of the president's tax cut package and what it's done for our economy.
What? What is wrong with these people? This is our problem. We have a heartless nation, or half a heartless nation. Half the nation has a heart. The other half are just, they're lacking the empathy gene. They do not give a shit. Just like Melania's jacket said, they do not give a shit. They just don't. They care about themselves, their own pocketbooks, and everyone else be damned. I don't know how we make it through 2 years. I don't. And this is what's had me in this state. Anyway, it's Tuesday. Gotta Laugh is here. There is so much to talk about, and It's a dark day. So I'll tell you what, I already gave you the lead story for What's News, which is the Supreme Court upholding Trump's travel ban, Muslim ban, making me wonder what fucking country this is, because I don't recognize it. Here's the rest of it.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The Trump administration has said that parents who cross illegally from Mexico to the U.S. with their children will not face prosecution temporarily because the government is running short of space to house them. White House spokesman Sarah Sanders said the administration wasn't dropping its zero tolerance policy, but it needed a temporary solution until it can house migrant families. On Monday, Trump went on a Twitter tirade, voicing his fantasy to kill due process. He tweeted, "We cannot allow all of these people to invade our country. When somebody comes in, we must immediately, with no judges or court cases, bring them back from where they came." Sarah Sanders was asked about that at Monday's daily press briefing.
Sarah, I want to ask you about the president's tweet over the weekend where he said that people who cross the border illegally should be sent back with no court cases, no judges. Does the president believe that undocumented immigrants have no due process rights whatsoever?
Virtually all Americans agree that it makes no sense that an illegal alien sets one foot on American soil and then they would go through a 3 to 5 year judicial process to be removed from the country. Thousands of illegal aliens are removed every month without seeing an immigration judge as a result of procedures in current law, including voluntary removal and expedited removal. Just because you don't see a judge doesn't mean you aren't receiving due process. The president is focused on securing our borders and reforming our immigration system to prevent the crisis at the border from getting worse.
But he's saying no judges, no court cases, so no opportunity to claim asylum, no opportunity to see here. Have their cases heard before a judge?
No. Like I just said, just because you don't see a judge doesn't mean you aren't receiving due process.
Veteran newsman Dan Rather appeared on CNN and weighed in on Trump's disturbing assertion.
The president saying he wants to make the law. This is completely contrary to American ideals and the American idea.
You're talking about due process and not putting people through.
He's basically saying that he is above the law. Yeah. Now, one of our fundamental tenets is no man. No person is above the law. And a president of the United States, is not a descendant of some sun god, and he doesn't serve because he's been given something, a divine mandate. He serves because he's been elected by the people. And to say what he said about, listen, I'm just, never mind the courts, never mind the law, this is a paraphrase, of course, I'm going to do it my way. This is, and I think everybody either recognizes it or should recognize it, this is classic authoritarianism, which can very quickly lead to dictatorship or even totalitarianism.
Civility is the buzzword today after Sarah Sanders was denied service at the Red Hen restaurant in Lexington, Virginia over the weekend. Congresswoman Maxine Waters called on protesters to confront administration officials at a rally over the weekend.
If you think we're rallying now, you ain't seen nothing yet. Already, you have members of your cabinet that are being booed out of restaurants. Who have protesters taking up at their house. Who saying no peace, no sleep. No peace, no sleep. And guess what? We're going to win this battle because while you try and quote the Bible, Jeff Sessions and others, you really don't know the Bible. God is on our side. On the side of the children. On the side of what's right. On the side of what's honorable. On the side of understanding that if we can't protect the children, we can't protect anybody. And so, let's stay the course. Let's make sure we show up wherever we have to show up. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
Trump, of course, took to Twitter to lie about what Waters said or didn't say, claiming she called for harm to supporters. In case you need a reminder of what it sounds like when one is calling for harm.
If you see somebody getting ready to throw a tomato, knock the crap out of them, would you? Seriously. Okay? Just knock the hell. I promise you, I will pay for the legal fees, I promise.
The guards are very gentle with him. He's walking out like big high fives, smiling, laughing, like to punch him in the face, I'll tell you.
All right, yeah, get him out. Try not to hurt him. If you do, I'll defend you in court. Don't worry about it. Hillary wants to essentially abolish the Second Amendment. By the way, and if she gets to pick... if she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know.
Tuesday is primary day in New York, Colorado, Oklahoma, Maryland, and Utah. Get out and vote like your life depends on it, because it does. I got the And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener funded, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
You're listening to the Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
And now it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment. Shooting the shit with Laffy.
We missed Laffy the last couple of weeks. Last week she was on vacation. The week before I was out sick. I was almost out sick again today, but here we are both together. So let's get Laffy on the line, shall we? Hello. Oh,
it's the Trump separation policy hotline.
Oh boy. Okay.
Press 1 if you think Sean Hannity should be separated from his late-night pillow talkie phone calls with his personal assistant, Trump.
Yep.
Press 2 if you think Rudy Giuliani should be separated from his big, vile, toothy mouth. And press 3 if you think Trump should be separated from the White House.
Oh, yes. Ah, wait, we need to turn that up.
Oh, my God. Oh, I feel like you do today. I just can't take it. It's horrible.
I woke up with a panic attack, and it went downhill from there.
Of course it would, because like you said, you didn't hear the Supreme Court decision until after you had the panic attack starting in.
Yep.
I don't know how you do it, because I don't get panic attacks, although I feel like I am now. And I can barely get through the day. I've been crying all morning. That wasn't the only decision that was handed down. The other one was about these quote so-called crisis centers where women and girls go when they are contemplating getting an abortion.
Yep.
And I guess they're not allowed to. What is it? I have it somewhere. I need to get the do you have the wording on it? By any chance?
Let me see if I can't find it.
Because I'm not going to say it right, so I'd prefer if we read it from some source. But it wasn't a good ruling, let's put it that way.
Yeah, the law required so-called crisis pregnancy centers to provide women accurate information and disclosures about public reproductive health care services such as birth control and abortion. And it struck down this California Reproductive Freedom Accountability Comprehensive Care and a Transparency Act so that they don't have to tell people what options are available to them.
Right. Because free speech and whatnot. Okay. So, yeah, that's how it is now. Tomorrow there's going to be a really bad decision coming down that's going to hurt unions.
Yep.
So this is what happens when people say, you know, Hillary and Trump, they're pretty much alike, so I'm not going to vote. Or
yeah.
I hate Hillary so much. She's icky. She did a lot of things I hate, so I'm not going to vote for her. So that's like a vote for Trump. And whether, you know, I wasn't a big fan of Hillary's. But boy, oh boy, she would be a whole lot better than what we've got now.
Oh, God, without a doubt. You know, I remember back in the days right after Election Day, and I got a call from a listener who, you know, was a Bernie supporter, but he couldn't bring himself to vote for Hillary, so he voted for Trump. I would love for that guy to call in now and defend himself. This is what you wanted? This is what you got? Anybody who was a Bernie Sanders supporter who voted for Donald Trump, this is on you. This
and
they squarely
they couldn't
is
have
on
been
you.
Sanders supporters. They couldn't have been.
No, they
because
were
if
idiots.
You're, if you're a Sanders supporter, you don't agree with anything that Trump has ever said.
Yep. Yep.
You know, I think I've mentioned before that I was included in a private sort of a DM chat room, you know, where they include a lot of people, like a conference chat on direct messages on Twitter. And these were supposedly Bernie people who were so anti-Hillary that they were not going to vote for her, whether it was voting for Jill Stein, whether it was for voting for Trump, whatever. Mm. They were very, very
virulently.
They were really against Hillary. And they said, see, that what will happen is we'll get Trump in office, and then everybody will finally come to their senses and see we shouldn't have somebody like Trump in office.
Right.
Okay, tell me how that's logical, and then tell me how you undo all the damage he's doing.
Yeah, I don't get it. Look, like Susan Sarandon, I'm a fan of her acting, but I think she went overboard. She wouldn't vote for Hillary. And what was the reasoning? Sometimes, oh, you got to hit rock bottom. We've so below hit rock bottom. This man is destroying our democracy. This man is destroying this nation. Everything it stood for. Everything.
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 And anything to overturn anything that Obama did is one of his goals. He's a racist. He's an out-and-out, blatant racist.
Mm-hmm.
He's a misogynistic liar. He's a fraud. This person is I don't even want to call him a person. Trump is the epitome of the worst person in the world. I have never seen anybody, personally known of anybody at this depth, you know, where you know a lot about what they're talking about and saying and thinking and feeling, because there are other people like him in the world. I'm not saying he's the only one, but I've never witnessed a person, a being as vile and evil as he is, and that other people go along with this. That is what kills me. You mentioned this, and people were saying in chat room, it's not 50%, it's 40% or 30% of the people who still support him. But it's still millions of people.
Yeah.
No matter how many, what the percentage is.
And his approval rating among Republicans is at 90%.
90%, yeah.
What? Yeah. I can't even fathom that. It just doesn't register.
Because he's getting in the judges that he wanted and that they wanted. He's getting in conservative judges and justices, which will change this country for decades. undoing it may be impossible at some, you know, depending on what we're talking, which law we're talking about.
In our lifetimes. In our lifetimes.
Exactly. Oh, mine's shorter than yours. I've got less time than you do. I'm older than you. So, I also think about my kids who are adults, but, you know, they have their whole lives ahead of them.
Yeah.
And they're going to be faced with, and they're gay, so they're going to be faced with legal discrimination, which they, you know, already are with this stupid cake ruling. I mean, it was just a punt, but still, it wasn't in our favor.
Nope.
Just awful. Let's start. I've got so many tweets. Let's start tweets, but I'll give you today's, and then we'll go to yesterday's if there's time.
Okay, let's do it.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
Okay.
Oh, and by the way, as pessimistic as I sound, and I am somewhat pessimistic about our future in terms of what might happen in the elections, my message is vote, vote, vote. Check vote.org and to see if you are registered or to register if you're not registered, or call your local city clerk or whatever it takes to make sure that that you are registered. And I always go with an absentee ballot and I hand deliver it to my city clerk.
Yep. We do the same thing. Here's the thing. You know, it's just as every bit as important to vote in the primaries as it is in the general. Primaries, you have a chance of getting a better, more progressive candidate in the general election. But make no mistake, this is what we've come to. No matter who is on that ballot in November, I think it's November 6th this year, you got to vote for the Democrat, whoever it is. Even if you got to hold your nose to vote against the Republican, the Democrats have to take back the House. If they don't, we're just fucked. If they don't,
that's it.
It's game over. You think things are bad now? Oh, my God. I can't even imagine.
I mean, he's stacking the court. So even if something like you saw today, something like the Muslim ban was doing great in the courts that were under the Supreme Court, in the appeals courts and all that. But then as soon as it hits the Supreme Court, we're done. There are other courts that he's stacking that we can't even get to square one because there will not be or even in the appeals courts, his judges will be in there.
Yeah.
So, it's just... Oh, my God, we have to vote. All right, so starting with, okay, here we go. Sahil Kapoor, who is with Bloomberg, SCOTUS, 2018, and he's ticking off what they've done. One, upholds Trump's travel ban. Next, OK's Ohio voter purge. Backs anti-gay wedding baker. Allows gerrymandered maps. OK's online betting and sales taxes. Smacks public sector unions. Backs biz over workers, arbitration, backs cell phone privacy, and kills California abortion rights law. So a whole bunch of those are tragic. A whole bunch of those are just tragic.
Yep.
So vote, vote, vote.
Vote.
Including, you know, when you have judges to vote, sometimes there's judicial things that we have to look at too, your options. You have to make sure that you do your research or at least find out from maybe your local Democratic Party, ask them for some guidance. I've done that with people we know, Nicole, from our listserv. There are people who are heads of the Democratic Party in my state. And when I'm really stuck and I don't understand where do I go to look for this stuff, they guide me.
Right. Nope. I hear you.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Sam Stein, Daily Beast, MSNBC. He tweeted today, "For McConnell or his team, it literally is all about the win. Policy and social outcomes seem entirely secondary. Here he is on the left, gloating about the travel ban decision," and there's a picture of him shaking Gorsuch's hand. Ugh. "Here he is on the right, warning about it," and it says, "Senate Leader McConnell cautions Trump on travel ban, warns against religious tests." So he's just saying it's all about the win.
Yeah.
McConnell is right up there with Trump. He's right there doing everything we hate, everything that's bad, everything that hurts us.
This is all on McConnell for stealing that Supreme Court seat. And you know what I got to say? Obama, should have done something. I don't know what he could have done because, you know, the Republicans controlled both chambers of Congress, but something should have been done. There's no way they should have been allowed to hold a Supreme Court seat open for a year for this, to give it to Gorsuch.
Right. Right. I agree. It's so depressing. Oh, boy. All right. This is Aaron Booth, who is Decision Desk headquarters. He said, think about, okay, so he puts up a tweet from Jacob, I'm not even going to try it, but SCOTUS cedes a lot of authority to the executive branch here. They give full deference to the claim of national security as justification. SCOTUS seems unwilling to entertain the possibility that the president might act in bad faith and declines to allow judicial review. Aaron Booth then adds, think about that. SCOTUS neglecting idea that a president may act in bad faith, the ultimate quote, if the president does it, it's legal.
Oh, God. Yeah. That. Well, you know where that goes. It goes back to here.
Well, when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
I'm surprised Trump doesn't have a tattoo of Nixon on his back.
Oh, yeah. Our little buddy Roger Stone, who told me to basically go fuck myself on Twitter, choke on my own hypocrisy, I think he said, has a big, big tattoo on his back of Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse Lee from Center for American Progress Action, CAP Action.
Okay.
He quotes himself first saying, and this is in quotes, Donald Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what the hell is going on, unquote. And then he says, interesting that the, quote, strict constructionists and, quote, originalists can find a constitutional right for billionaires and corporations to buy our government, but can't find the part granting freedom of religion unless contraception is involved. That's where we are.
None of it makes any sense.
None of it. By the way, I did put my money where my mouth was. I saw, was it a tweet? I don't even remember. It was a list of for the children, for this immigration fiasco, the concentration camp for kids. It was a list of organizations that will help them, whether it was legal or trying to in other ways help the children find their parents, et cetera. And you do one donation and it goes to all of them.
Oh,
I
nice.
Did donate to that. I felt like I mean, what else can I do? I, you know, my Congress people are already on my side. I'm in California. So I donated. That's one way you can take action.
Mm-hmm.
As well as, of course, call and write your Congress people.
Right.
Okay, Norm Ornstein.
Yeah.
He said, my guess is, if Brown versus Board of Education had been decided by the current Supreme Court, it would have gone 5-4 the other way.
Yeah. Yeah. These are the times we're living in now, and they are frightening. I watched the first season of The Handmaid's Tale, and I almost stopped midway through because it was so dark and depressing, and I've been dealing with this depression. I'm having a hard time processing shit like that. And,
sure.
Jody Hamilton actually reached out to me and said, no, watch it. It's good. It comes around. It gets less dark. She reached out at the beginning of the second season and said, don't watch it. It's that dark. And apparently it is. These are the times we're living in now. These are the dark ages. And we don't have a dictator in this country, but Donald Trump seems to think we do.
Well, and we're heading that way.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because even though we have a Supreme Court, they're doing his bidding.
Yeah.
So it's a sham of a court. Joy Reid tweeted, Muslim ban, separating migrant parents and children, even babies, planned internment camps, Puerto Rico and USVI left to suffer, realigning America with dictators and spurning our allies, black athletes forced into patriotic displays, trade wars. Trump has been president 17 months.
That's
terrifying.
I don't know how we survive. I really don't.
I don't either. And here's another thing. And this is something I tweeted about today. Mueller is not our savior. Mueller isn't going to indict. Someone said, oh, yes, he is. I said, no, he's not. He's not going to indict. I would be shocked. Let's put it that way. I would be totally, totally shocked if he indicted. He's going to send a report if we're allowed to read it.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we are. And then it goes to Congress.
Right.
And Congress decides, right? Well, if we win the House, there's no guarantee he would be impeached. There's a possibility he would be impeached. Right now, there's no possibility he would be impeached. If he's impeached in the House, it goes to the Senate. Chances are we will not win the Senate. So he will not be convicted. So that's the end of Mueller, right?
Yep.
I mean, I don't know. There's the New York courts, so there's things, you know, there are other legal possibilities. But everyone's saying, Mueller, hurry. Yes, for a while, there's going to be a ton of news when Mueller comes out with his reporting. But, you know, it's not going to, it may not change all that much at the end. And the end result may not be what people expect.
Right. If we don't find some Republicans with some spine who are going to stand up for the nation over party, then we're fucked. And
right.
So far, I'm seeing no evidence that exists.
I'm seeing none, too. And then I heard a few people on TV say, if they don't do well in the midterms, the Republicans will then turn against Trump. They said that. They said, wait, you know, once they pass their tax reform thing or their tax,
yeah,
you know, their tax
right.
cuts, not a reform at all, then they'll that'll be it. Then they'll start turning on Trump. No, that didn't happen. And I don't think there's any guarantee that if we win the House, that the Republicans will suddenly see the light.
Nope.
I think that they may have some misgivings about a couple of things. We may get our way in a couple of, you know, small parts of laws,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think that we're going to get too far. We've got a president who can veto, and we've got a Senate who chooses our judges and, you know, our cabinet members. So, or not chooses, but, you know, they pass muster. They hold hearings and,
yep.
and do their thing. So I don't have a lot of hope unless we take both houses. And I really don't think we're going to take both houses. I think it'll get better. It'll be harder for Trump to do what he wants to do. But I'm not, you know, looking forward to a much better time. But I will have some relief if we win the House.
Yeah. And Howie Klein seems to think there is possibility that the Democrats can take the Senate, too. It all depends
really?
What happens over the next few months. Yeah.
I hope he's right.
I hope he's right, too.
Because then we'd have a fighting chance. But I really, honestly, am not optimistic about it. Okay, so Trump, of course, tweeted in all caps, Supreme Court upholds Trump travel ban. Wow! And then Kyle Griffin, MSNBC producer of The Last Word, said, hey, remember when Sean Spicer claimed for months that it wasn't a ban?
Right.
Again, Trump just called it a travel ban.
Yeah.
I'm getting through these more quickly than I thought, so good, we'll have time for yesterday's. Nancy Pelosi, I'm sorry, not Nancy Pelosi, our buddy twin mom Sue, who goes under the name Nancy Pelosi's Lozenges Assorted Flavors, she said, all three branches of government are compromised. What are our options? I am so exhausted. And that's what we were just saying.
Yeah. It's mentally, physically, and emotionally exhausting. And I know I'm not alone. That's the thing. And that's why I hate losing it on the air. It's anything but professional, but I know so many people are going through it right now.
Absolutely. You feel it hard because you suffer from depression and that makes it go over the top for you, where the rest of us are like barely like, I see Francie in our chat room. Francie 57, I am treading water. That's how most of us are feeling. We're just barely keeping our head above water. You're sinking below that water line because you suffer from deep depression.
Yeah.
So you're entitled and allowed and validated for feeling exactly the way you're feeling. Okay, so Aaron Blake, senior political reporter for The Fix and The Washington Post, he says, SCOTUS says Trump has authority to bar not just specific classes of people, but entire nationalities.
Say that. Say that again.
Okay. He highlighted, I'll read it to you if you want the legal text, but he said, SCOTUS says Trump has the authority to bar not just specific classes of people, but entire nationalities.
Oh, God.
It says here, the proclamation properly identifies a class of aliens, nationals of select countries whose entry is suspended. Plaintiffs argue that the class must refer to a well-defined group of individuals who share a common characteristic apart from nationality. Oh, Trump's tweeting. Brief for, anyway, it goes, the text, of course, does not say that, and the word class comfortably encompasses a group of people linked by nationality. He's making the point that we're screwed, is what he's saying, that these people are screwed. This is not normal hat, Pope hat, at Pope hat. But the upshot is this. The majority says that the president of the United States can revile Muslims and say he wants to ban them. But as long as his law is facially neutral and someone can make up a neutral argument for it, it survives. So they've racially neutral. I think he meant, wait, where am I? I think he meant racially. He said facially neutral. And then BMAS says racially neutral. I don't know. But what he's there, in other words, the court said, you know, it may be bad, but we're doing it anyway.
Yeah. They're doing bad shit.
Yeah. Citizens for Ethics.
Right.
A reminder that countries where Trump does business are not hit by the travel ban.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah. And then he puts up there North Korea as if North Koreans are coming into our country, right?
Oh, God.
That's under the Muslim ban, as if there's Muslims there. Again, Joy Reid. She's quoting Angus Johnston, a student activist, an historian. Sotomayor notes that the contradiction between the court's reasoning and Masterpiece Cake Shop and its ruling today. And Joy Reid said, in other words, the Republican majority on the Supreme Court considered the Colorado commissioner's statements to be too prejudicial against the Christian baker, but ignored the president's prejudicial statements against Muslims. They're not even trying to pretend to be consistent.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, in one instance, can't do it. In the other instance, sure, why not? Unbelievable.
It really is.
Fucking believable. Adam Serwer, who is the senior editor at The Atlantic, he said the Supreme Court upholding the travel ban means that Trump can continue to express his prejudices publicly, implement those prejudices through public policy, and then be bailed out by the high court as long as his advisors manage to provide a superficially neutral pretext, which is exactly what happened.
I'm sorry. You know what? I'm so out of it today. I'm totally lost in what you're saying.
That's okay. It was a bunch of words. Let me say it again because it's an important one. The Supreme Court upholding the travel ban means that Trump can continue to express his prejudices publicly.
Yeah.
Implement those prejudices through public policy.
Yeah.
And then be bailed out by the high court as long as his advisors manage to provide a superficially neutral pretext.
Yeah. 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 He's getting his people on there. I know.
Well, take a breath. I'm going to give you a little bit of a tweet storm here.
Okay.
By our buddy Tim Wise.
Oh, great.
This is from yesterday.
Okay.
So it's not about today's rulings.
Okay.
I think civil discourse, I think he's going on.
Yes.
I think everyone would prefer that the day-to-day political discourse in this country not descend into hostility and that people could speak rationally to one another about their differences. A few problems, though. And then he goes on to say, this is a long, there's like 16 of these.
Wow.
But it's worth it.
Okay.
Because it's Tim. It's Tim Wise, and Tim Wise is good.
Yep.
First off, these differences are not boilerplate types, like disagreeing over tax policy or trade or military budget or any number of other things. The differences now are quite literally about whether you support splitting families and denying them due process. And he goes on to say, they're about whether sending kids thousands of miles from parents with no clear plan to reunite them is to be considered okay. Whether it's okay to say that some among the Nazis in Charlottesville were fine people,
right,
or to call black brown nations shitholes while calling for more Norwegians.
Right.
Whether it's acceptable to call immigrants animals who are invading or infesting the nation. And the bottom line is the people who continue to work for this president are saying those things are okay with them. And most of his voters who stick with him no matter what he says or does are saying those things are okay. So then the question becomes, at what point does the endorsement of something truly evil justify public shaming and verbal pushback? What is the proper threshold? because I can't assume there isn't one for everyone somewhere. So where's the line? And why hasn't this administration crossed it? Secondly, let's remember that Dems and even insufficiently Tea Party-ish Republicans were verbally harangued in public during the Obama years, not because the president was doing anything evil, but because he was pushing for a health care plan previously endorsed by Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
One would think differences over the proper role of government in health care would have been one of those issues on which cooler heads could prevail and differences could be addressed without shaming or public attack. But they weren't. And now the right clutches its pearls over a trend they started and perfected. It was one of theirs who shouted, "You lie," at the president during the State of the Union. Yep. Before that, it was right-wing radio hosts who said, among other things, that they would like to keep Representative Charles Rangel with a shovel, Beck, that Obama was looking to take farms away from white people like Robert Mugabe in Zimbabwe, Limbaugh, or perhaps tanking the economy as payback for slavery, Limbaugh and Beck both. Or that immigrants were to blame for the swine flu epidemic and leprosy, Savage and Dobbs, or that Obama hated white people, Beck again, among other things. These kinds of attacks became normative, and those hearing them followed suit, repeating the same stuff constantly. And then Trump comes along and violates every rule of civility that ever existed. He calls women fat and slobs, calls Mexicans rapists and drug dealers, says a Mexican-American judge can't be impartial because of his ethnicity, mocks a disabled reporter, and calls on his fans to physically assault protesters and promises he would even pay their legal bills for doing so, which you played in the opening.
Yep.
And this isn't even getting into what he admitted doing, not just saying, to women. And again, his minions heard him loud and clear and started parroting him on those things, wearing shirts at rallies that called Hillary Clinton the C-word and fuck your feelings and Trump that bitch, while others shouted blatantly racist things at people of color in their presence or vile rants at the media covering the rallies, all of this on video. And then we had story after story of kids chanting build that wall or at Latino students during athletic events. And most recently, an old friend of mine reported that his middle schooler's multiracial tour group at the Smithsonian was confronted by some kids in a much whiter group wearing MAGA gear, one of whom thanked one of the black kids for picking his cotton shirt.
In other words,
when you initiate such an intense level of incivility and even outright hatred, you really can't claim to be the victim. Whether or not one thinks public shaming is effective is one thing, but to act like this is a left creation, is an inversion of reality.
Yeah, it's opposite world. You know, they're blaming the incivility on the left when all you have to do is listen to the words of the president who is advocating violence against political opponents and worse. It just nothing makes sense anymore. And maybe that's what I find so depressing, that
yes, I know. I totally get it. You don't even have to finish your sentence. When people are swept up, I never use the Hitlerian comparison, but this is Hitlerian. Hitler hit on something that people thought they needed, and so they went with him. And that's what's happening now. Trump hit on something people think they need. They feel left out, or they feel angry, or they're afraid of a white minority. A few of them are upset about many of them are upset about their own finances, but I'm saying I don't think the majority of them voted for him for that reason. It was mostly an us versus them thing. And that's what's so scary, and that's what's happening, is they get swept up and they get feverish about it. And then you find kids calling other kids racist things when you go to a museum.
Yeah. It's horrible.
Ugh. All right. Jenny Jardin, I hope that's how she pronounces it, because that's the French way to pronounce it. She says, she's the Boing Boing editor. She said, ultimately, this is not about immigration. This is about white supremacy. This is about eugenics. This is about racial purity. This is what we just said. Remember that. Address it in your coverage, journalism professionals. And then she says, of course, it makes no sense. Racism makes no damn sense, fool. It is not uncivil or rude to call white supremacists white supremacists. It is not mean to describe the language of genocide and eugenics as such. Racism is not a dirty word. This is a slow rollout ethnic cleansing. Grow a spine now. And then she closes with, fellow white people, I know it's upsetting and you might even break a nail, but work with me. She's so good.
Uh-huh.
Okay, this is from today.
Okay.
Those were from yesterday, those last two. Facts do matter. Will Donnelly, he tweeted, it says, just in from NBC, Speaker Ryan calls for Representative Waters to apologize for her comments, calling for Trump administration members to be confronted and heckled when in public. There's no place for this. And Facts Do Matter says, is this the same Speaker Ryan who didn't ask Republican Congressman Steve King to apologize for retweeting a self-described Hitler admirer? Is Ryan now owning that the GOP are now the American Fascist Party? Okay, that's part one. Here's part two from a little while after that. This is from Asted Wesley. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing. A national politics reporter with the New York Times. Sam Stein, he's quoting, new Ashley Strong, Paul Ryan's spokesperson, sent me the following statements on Steve King. The speaker has said many times that Nazis have no place in our politics and clearly members should not engage with anyone promoting hate. And Asted says, took 13 days.
Took 13 days?
Yep, that took 13 days to get that quote from Paul Ryan's spokesperson.
Wow.
So the first quote, the first tweet I read you was, how can Speaker Ryan, you know, be such a hypocrite because he has said nothing about Steve King? And then the next one was about Ashley Strong, Paul Ryan's spokesperson, finally coming out with a statement, but it took 13 days.
Yes, of course it did.
So those are all my today's ones. I have a bunch from yesterday now.
Okay.
All right. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there.
Okay. Just feel free to just listen. I can read all day. we're good. Okay. You're fine. Don't worry. We're all with you and we're all crying with you and you are vocalizing what we feel. So if you need to cry, you go right ahead. Cry.
Just so you know, tomorrow, Will Bunch is supposed to be here and he's got a new column on, civility.
I'm going to be posting it soon.
Right. And it all depends on how I'm doing tomorrow.
All right.
I said, there were almost was not a show today. I'm working through it.
You do what you need to do. Okay. That's, you know,
yep.
You do what you need to do. That's why I took last week off. Mr. Laffey was home for the week and I said, you know what? I need some time too. This is overwhelming.
Yep.
Okay. So Jessica Sidman, the Washingtonian, she said D.C.'s red hen was egged and is getting death threats. It's totally unaffiliated with the Virginia red hen that kicked out Sarah Sanders. And Walter Schaub, the ethics guy, said, this is why I pointed out that her use of a government account was a violation and that POTUS's tweet failed to live up to the standard of his predecessors who tried to act as if ethics rules applied to them. This is the mobilization of government influence. One day, it will get someone killed.
Yes. And I'm afraid it's going to get there. Look, I get the whole idea of they're far from civil. If anyone is uncivil, it's the right. And it would serve the left to be a little more in your face. Although I'm torn because both sides going at each other isn't going to get us anywhere. It's going to get us into another civil war.
No, I am, as usual, exactly. That's how I feel. And Moon Truth asked, when does the laughing part start, Laffy? It's not starting today, dear.
Yeah, not today. I'm sorry.
Ain't going to happen. You missed the opening? That was it. All right. LOL GOP jumped on the same topic. He said, if you talk to the people who escaped Nazi Germany, they often say their big regret was not being nicer to government officials defending unspeakable crimes who were eating dinner.
Sure.
There was something to laugh at, Moon Truth. Mm-hmm. All right. Alt-U.S. press secretary also, she said, all those who were calling for a reduction in rhetoric understand neither the threat we face nor the origin of the tremendous energy of the opposition holding the line against it. If you do not understand the resistance, step aside now. It will save us all time. So I think the happy medium here is to not be so polite about it, but not get insane about it either. I think we can get in their faces and I think we can protest our asses off and I think we can talk back to them strongly, assertively, with way more force than we have. We don't have to be Trump version 2.0. We don't have to do that.
Right.
But I don't think we have to be nice either.
No. And I just know, look, if I were to happen upon Sarah Sanders somewhere out in public, I'd probably tell her exactly what I thought of her because, sure, you know me, and I couldn't hold it in. You know, as for being kicked out of a restaurant, look, I sort of like that the owner left it up to the staff there, and they didn't want to wait on this person. Something else they could have just done is spit in her food.
Right. You know, they could have. it's a private enterprise, so they can have any rule they want to kick anyone they want out. Like, you know, again, if you can turn down somebody to bake a cake, you can turn down somebody to serve food to.
Yeah.
So, you know, fight fire with fire. I think that's what they're saying here is you can be civil about your incivility. You know what I mean? Yep. You can do things without being crass about it.
Yep.
Josh Krauschar of the National Journey says, got buried under all the Trump chaos, but this has been a very tough month at the court for anti-gerrymandering activists.
Sure.
And
has.
Chris Hayes replied, put another way, McConnell's unprecedented block of Garland's hearings, a move of sheer power politics, is paying significant dividends and embedding further structural political advantage for his political coalition.
Hmm.
In other words, voting matters.
Yep. Yes, it does.
Vote against the Republicans. And thank you, Shalel, in chat. We appreciate you, too. No end.
Yes.
Dave Johnson, our buddy, says the people in detention are accused of a misdemeanor. Republicans say they take the kids away because they committed an illegal act. They are accused of a misdemeanor, not convicted. And we don't take people's kids away as punishment for minor misdemeanors. I'm like wanting to pound my desk as I say that.
Yep. And this is accused. They haven't been convicted of anything.
Exactly.
Misdemeanor charges. And they're taking people's children away.
So maybe we should take their children away if they run a stoplight.
Oh, God.
I mean, that's basically, you know what I mean? You don't take kids away for a misdemeanor.
Yep.
You don't take their kids away anyway. That's just wrong. Oh,
yes,
God.
It is.
Anyway. So, you know, Trump threatened Maxine Waters. Mm-hmm. He said, a sitting member of Congress, everybody, Maxine Waters, all right? Congresswoman Maxine Waters, an extraordinarily low IQ person, has become, together with Nancy Pelosi, the face of the Democrat Party. She has just called for harm to supporters, of which there are many of the Make America Great Again movement. Be careful what you wish for, Max.
Meanwhile, she didn't call for harm of anybody.
Right. That's coming.
Okay.
All right. So
go.
Judd Legum said, be best, CC FLOTUS.
Uh-huh.
Harold, our PhD, a follower of mine, said, racists are verbally attacking people of color in public everywhere in the country. Trump's veiled threat to Waters is fomenting violence, a felony. There we go. That's what we were saying.
Uh-huh.
And Daniel Dale, who I love, Toronto Star, just love him. Waters wasn't talking about Trump supporters, but members of Trump's cabinet. While she predicted people would absolutely harass these officials, she made clear she was calling on people to confront, criticize, and shun them, not harm them. Here's a rally transcript.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can read you the first few sentences. So I don't have to go into the whole thing. If you think we're rallying now, you ain't seen nothing yet. Already you have members of your cabinet that are being booed out of restaurants, who have protesters taking up their taking up at their house, who are saying no peace, no sleep, no peace, no sleep. And guess what? We're going to win this battle, because while you try and cite the Bible, that just said, this is what you played on your show.
Yes,
right? On your,
yes, it was in What's News.
Right. Okay. So she's saying to push back, but she never said do anything illegal ever.
No.
Or anything violent.
She was calling
ever.
Here. In fact, here's another explanation of what she was saying. This is Maxine Waters.
Trump is the one who's creating lies, trying to have people believe that I talked about harming people. There's nowhere in my statement, anytime, any place that we talked about harm. And so our members of the Democratic Caucus are talking about civility, and that makes good sense. But protest is civility. Protest is about peaceful resistance to the kind of actions that we're experiencing from this president.
And that's it. She didn't call for harm to anybody. He's the one who's calling for physical harm to people.
Yeah. You know, I think I have a tweet here of the same things you played, where he tells people to beat other people up. Yes, my very last one from Maggie Haberman. All right, so Lawrence Tribe says, Trump's latest scam offers this typically gross deal. We'll return your toddler if you give up your asylum claim. That's flatly unconstitutional extortion under, and he cites three or four laws.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, nobody's going to call him on it, though, in terms of, you know, legally. No one's going to do a thing about that. They're just they'll protest, and Republicans will tisk tisk and tut tut, but they will not do a thing in Congress to deal with it.
You know, I used to believe that you know, the CIA or the FBI, there was the three-letter alphabet agencies actually controlled things, and it didn't matter who the president was. I had this fantasy that after the inauguration, the new president goes into the Oval Office, and they're shortly after visited by somebody from one of these alphabet agencies who says, now, Mr. President, let me tell you how things really work. Mm-hmm. And there's just so much they can do. This shattered that illusion.
Yes, completely
shattered that illusion. Now, you know, I all bets are off because Trump obviously thinks he's the dictator in chief. He wants to be Duterte. He wants to be Erdogan. He wants to be Kim Jong-un. He wants to be Vladimir Putin. He does not want to be Angela Merkel or any of our allies. He wants out of NATO. He's going to shun all the norms of the last century, everything that got us to where we are, all our alliances, he's going to kill, and he's going to put us in with the dictators and despots.
Right, and not only that, we don't have the checks and balances that we need. So even when he attacks those CIA, FBI, whoever he wants, you know, mostly the FBI now, that then destroys that their credibility and our protection. Not that they're angels, I mean, obviously, but in this case, compared to Trump, we need them. We need them. And nothing's happening to change people's minds. He's changing them, and their ratings have gone down. The FBI is now less popular because of Trump.
It's amazing.
Polls. I don't mean to make it into a popularity contest. It sounded bad what I just said, but you know what I mean. They are losing credibility.
Yep.
And that's not good. All right. So Lila Lalami of The Nation said, "Civil uncivil dictionary enhanced dictionary. Okay, civil uncivil dictionary, enhanced interrogation, torture, tender care facilities, baby jails, family separation, mass kidnapping of children, right wing firebrand, white nationalist." Controversial, probably racist, racially insensitive, racist, racially charged, super racist.
Wow.
That was good.
Yep.
Ben Wexler, writer-producer, said, some would say the slippery slope towards incivility started when a presidential candidate admitted to grabbing women by the genitals, and we elected him anyway. But who am I to say?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Again, Jenny from Boing Boing said, I think it's important, so important that as we're having this nuanced dialogue about civility, we remember that Flint doesn't have safe drinking water, much of Puerto Rico doesn't have electricity, and thousands of immigrant kids are sleeping in ad hoc prisons in America tonight.
Yeah, and we wonder why I'm depressed.
Yeah, exactly, right? Daniel Dale again, he said, if the rest of the world just took a little, why is this a quote? Oh, for King of Dora. Oh, God, this was so annoying.
I was looking for this audio and I couldn't find it. So I'm glad you have this tweet.
Yes. Okay. He's quoting the King of Jordan, who's telling Trump this.
Yeah.
If the rest of the world just took a little bit of your humility and your grace to help us, we would be in a lot better position. And Trump promptly boasts that he was just complimented for his humility.
It was unbelievable.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
I couldn't even. Bleh. All right, we're almost out of time, so I'm going to oh my goodness, I have more. We're not going to have time to finish. Okay, Ron Klain makes a good point. If Trump can deny due process to those allegedly here unlawfully, ICE can grab you, allege you aren't a citizen, and deport you without a hearing. To everyone who was tweeted back, not me, I can prove I'm a citizen. You missed the point. Without due process, who will you prove it to?
No kidding.
Where will you show your proof? A right to a hearing, judicial review protects all of us.
Yep.
Christopher Titus, a comedian who follows me and is pretty good at tweeting, he said, after throwing down the gauntlet on day one with Mexicans are rapists, now the GOP is asking for civility. Hyperpocrisy.
Yep.
Phil Rucker of Washington Post quoted Melania in a speech she made about kindness and compassion that I won't even bother to read. And James Morrison, an actor, said, loved when Michelle Obama said it first because she meant it.
Yeah.
I think we can't do the rest. We're out of time, huh?
Yeah, although we should just do Sarah Sanders. Just because you don't see a judge doesn't mean you don't receive due process. That's exactly what it means.
Oh, God. Ugh. All right, you and I are going drinking after the show. I don't care if we're 3,000 miles apart.
God. Gotta laugh. Thank you. Thank you for getting me through today. And listeners, thank you for bearing with me. I will do my best to be here tomorrow with the awesome Will Bunch. There's so much to talk about, and I will try to keep my shit together. As always, find Laffy on Twitter at Gotta Laugh and at Laffy'sPlace.com at NicoleSandler.com. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Big hug.